I've got no guests this week, unfortunately. So I've decided I'm going to do a bit of a chat about something I get asked tons of questions about, and it's how do you survive a 24-hour race? It's something that I don't even really realise that I know a lot about it, but I guess I've done a fair few now, which probably helps. I sat down and talked to Red Bull about it once, and that's probably where I'm going to go with the kind of gist of this whole conversation, I think. So sorry, you get to deal with me for a bit, which might be good, might be bad. I don't really know yet, to be honest with you. I'm just going to ramble and record a ramble, and let's just see what happens with it. So, yeah, 24-hour races. I've kind of broken it up into 12 points. I'm going to run through each of those 12 points a bit, and we'll just sort of take it from there. So for me, one of the big ones is about breaking up the distance, because it makes it much more believable and understandable if you, say for a 24-hour race, you break it down into hours or whatever it is. So for me, what I do is I actually tend to break it down into 4-hour slots. The reason why I do 4 hours is that's generally the amount of fuel that I can carry on a bike comfortably for 24 hours. So in the 4-hour slots, you'll break it down and you might have a bottle every hour, a bit of food every 20 minutes or so. And actually, surprisingly so, that means that the time goes a lot quicker than you'd expect. So a bottle would be like a large bottle with some sort of like carbohydrate solution in it. I use Martin. I like it. I got suckered in by the branding. Put it simple as that. There's a lot of marketing and very clever stuff behind the background of that brand, but it seems to work for me anyway. So yeah, whatever the distance is, it's just about breaking it up in your head. That seems to work really well for me. Part of what I also do is I count. I normally count up to like 1,000 and then count back down as another way of being like a way of distracting the mind, I guess. It works for me. It doesn't work for everyone. It could be taken any such way, I guess. So then fueling for it. Food really is everything on a 24-hour race. I guess it's that sort of mantra, is like it's actually more of an eating contest than it is actually a bike race. You kind of get to a point with it where you get so sick of eating real food. That's when I personally start to rely on the gels. So anyway, breaking it down on a bike, what I would tend to do is have like an assortment of maybe over that 4-hour period, an assortment of food, which is normally like some sort of flapjacky things, saurine, rice cakes. I'd say normally like aiming for having like an hour maximum. Then two gels. One will be caffeine based, especially later on in the race. One will be more of a isotonic gel. That will then switch to be just caffeine based towards the latter end of the race. And in that 4 hours as well, two large bottles, which would normally have electrolyte and carbohydrate mix. So like I said about Martin earlier, sometimes I would add things like a bit of orange squash in it, for example, just to change the flavor. Something that I found like from experience as well is that flavor fatigue is something you really suffer with. So what I mean by flavor fatigue is where you get to a point where you can't stomach the taste of certain things. So I found citrusy stuff was really good to reduce that flavor fatigue, actually. And what that sort of citrusy thing would do is just like freshen up your palate a bit and allow you to then stomach a bit more food more than anything. The main goal really was making sure that I was having 60 to 80 grams of carbs an hour, which sounds not too bad, but actually that takes some practice to do. Another great tip is just to mix up your choice of food, because so much cycling food is sweet. Prepare some like savory stuff. So for me, like peanut butter sandwiches, like anything that's sort of like, I really like roast potatoes. I think they're a really good option as well, just because they are savory and they mix it up quite a lot. But the key thing is making sure you're having lots of carbohydrate-based food, and making sure you're consistently eating. I've always found that towards the end of a race, I've actually really struggled to continue to eat. And that's when, as I say, I sort of start to resort to more liquidy things, more gels, more water, more carbohydrate solution in the drinks as well. For me, the next big tip, I think I've kind of covered two there, actually. So let's go number three, is the race is 100% about your support crew. It's more about your support crew than it is about you as a bike rider. That's it. I'm really lucky that I've got an amazing group of mates that seem to, for some reason, be really willing to support everything I do. I work with a nutritionist, Will Gerling. If you, obviously, I've spoken to him on a previous podcast. He's a genius at sort of planning these kind of races. Basically means that I don't have to think about what I'm eating. He would just give it to me, and you can see that from some of Francis's videos that are on his YouTube channels. That is another point of it. Like Francis, for me, is I'm incredibly lucky that he's one of my best mates, and he has allowed other people to see what these races are like and some of the challenges and experiences I've been through, all the way back from 107 for 107 to as recent as when we did the Dungeness ride the other week on the summer solstice, which is a real awesome thing to have there as a little bank of beautiful memories I've had with one of my mates. I work with a coach. I've worked with the same coach for, Jesus, 4 or 5 years now, I think. I can't remember how long. And that's Ken Buckley, who holds the British land speed record, and it used to be like Masters national champ. He's an absolute animal on a bike. If you're looking for coaching advice, he is, amazing. And all of these people, they're my friends. I pay for their services. It's their business. I just put it out there very honestly, because, and I work with them because I think they're the best in what they do. Not only are they my friends, I trust in them and I confide in them. And last but not least is Jimmy from Atticus. He has been at every National 24 race with me for every year I've done it. And why Jimmy is so important is not only being there to sort of help with the nutrition side and making sure I'm eating and stuff, is it's more of a morale thing more than anything. Jimmy knows how to deal with me and talk to me better than anyone else I know, and how to get me in the right headspace to focus for these kind of races. That sort of person is like absolutely priceless. And I've said to Jimmy that it was actually 2019 when I got hit by a car just before the 24 and herniated a disc the first time, and I wasn't certain if I was going to race it. And Jimmy was like, "Well, let's just not do it." And I actually said, "I physically cannot do it unless you're there." And I don't think he quite knew how important it is for me to have him there. But yeah, it's pretty damn important. He is a very special person to me in those kind of situations. Anyway, number four, learning from your mistakes. So in 2017, I entered the National 24. That was just after having finished 107, and the weather conditions were at the start of the race pretty good, but the weather greatly deteriorated during the race, and we had like hail and very, very, very heavy rain and thunderstorms. And I progressively got worse and worse, got colder and colder, wetter and wetter. I'd run out of dry kit. I kind of lost my head a bit. And I pulled out. I don't think I'd really spent enough time on the bike. I wasn't particularly comfortable on it. The bike I had back then, to be honest, wasn't a great bike. I never was comfortable on it. And I ended up actually getting pneumonia and shingles, which was to be honest, having pneumonia was bad, but having shingles was probably one of the most painful things I've ever had to experience in my life. And I know it sounds like a funny name, but shingles is basically nerve damage, which attacks your body and your nervous system, and it affects one side of your spine. And it, the only way I could describe it is like having an electric shock going up and down your back continually. It's fucking horrible. And it takes a long time to recover from, and also causes you like severe fatigue. Yeah, don't get it. Don't put yourself in a situation where you can get it, and learn from the lessons of your experiences in the past. They definitely make you stronger and make you better at what you could potentially do in the future. The following year, I went and came 8th. And then the year after that, I came 13th, but went a considerable distance further than I did the previous year. So you definitely learn from your mistakes and those kind of problems. It's pretty crazy when you think about it. Number 5, warm up and cool down. Sounds stupid on a 24-hour race, I know, but you do still need to prepare your body for it, whether that warm-up is during the race, which is what I would do, to be honest with you. I'd sort of ride around just to check the bike feels right, and then generally the first, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, I kind of class as a warm-up. And same with towards the end of the race, the cool-down is like the last 20 minutes or so of the race where I'm absolutely fucked anyway, so I just sort of would use that as an excuse to take it a bit easier and allow my body to try and feel fresher. It sounds silly, but it is really important. You don't want to cause any injuries. You don't want to surprise your body. You're going to be putting yourself through one of the toughest things you've probably done. So make sure you don't give your body any major surprises. Sounds silly, I know. Anyway, number 6, training smart. This relates to working with a good coach. I've learned tons having worked with Ken, absolutely tons. And it's kind of mind-blowing how much I've learned from him. And not just in, you know, cycling related, but the whole like being a cyclist, so to speak, from understanding the training, nutrition, the rest. Currently, I'm on a rest week. I've hardly ridden for the last 3 days. We're on Wednesday. It's quite nice, actually. Didn't ride at all yesterday, which was lovely. I've been on a very hard training block, so it's nice to have a bit of a break. But anyway, what I'm talking about here is practice what you're going to do. So if you're going to go and do crits, make sure you're practicing sprinting. If you're going to do time trials, make sure you're practicing long sustained efforts. I use a power meter. I think it's really, really important to train with power. I just think it's a much better metric than using heart rate. But I do wear a heart rate monitor as well. It's really good to have both as numbers to use as reference points, because heart rate is a great measurement to see if you're like over fatigued, you're tired, that kind of stuff, as well as giving you an idea of where your heart rate sits to your power. But power is a definite number, so it's always like you're riding at 107 watts, it is 107 watts. There's no fluctuation in that. That's exactly what it is. So I use power meter, heart rate, and I use a Wahoo bike computer to show me all that, which works great. And that's what I've used for the 24. The last one, I actually used a Bolt, a Wahoo Bolt, and then just plugged like a battery pack into it when the battery started dying, and like mounted one quite intelligently, I thought intelligently, in the center of the handlebars. All of my training plans is something that I discuss a lot with Ken, and what the plan is for the year. There's always a big picture throughout the whole year. We discuss it like early in the season and sort of adjust it as and when we need to. Part of that training smart means being on the right bike. Oh my God, I'm a bit knackered. Being on the right bike, training on the right bike, and riding the right bike. So if you're going to train for time trials, do it on a TT bike if you've got one. If you're going to want to get really good at cross, train on the cyclocross bike, etc., etc. Number 7, charge everything. DIT, bike computer, lights, spare bike computer, absolutely everything. Just make sure it's charged. I know so many people who've just forgotten to charge things, and it can absolutely scupper your ride. I then always have spares of everything. You know, better to have spare of something and not have to worry than have no spare and shit happens. I take spare bikes at the 24 races just because, just in case, you know, if something goes wrong, you kind of need to be on top of that. And so I'm going to now talk about sleep tactics. For a 24-hour time trial, obviously you've got 24 hours to complete it. I don't sleep in that 24 hours. My last 2019, I was riding for 23 hours and 46 minutes in total, I think it was, and a couple of seconds. So there was basically 14 minutes of non-riding, and that was a case of like adding more food into my pockets, stopping for piss, that kind of thing. On the subject of pissing and shitting, I've never had to shit on a 24-hour race. I have thrown up. That wasn't a pretty sight. That was caused by we don't really know, but we believe something that I've eaten, a rice cake in particular, just didn't agree with me, and it caused me to throw up. And then I persisted to eat a second one and threw up again. So that probably wasn't the wisest decision, but it did mean I got to eat a whole bag of Haribo afterwards, which is a bit of a bonus, I guess. So if you're doing like a 24-hour relay race, for example, it's really useful to try and look at like power napping, 15, 20-minute power nap, or even being as simple as like laying down and resting your body if you can't sleep. Something else I've heard as well is making sure you have caffeine before. When you wake up, you're then more alert. If you're only going for like 15 minutes, it's quite a good tactic to do that for giving yourself that 15-minute recovery, waking up. Bam, you're proper awake. Oh my God, I can't stop yawning. It's not even late, it's 6:30 here. But if you're doing a 24-hour solo event, I am a big believer of sleep banking. So spending like a week before trying to get more hours rest as possible. I feel like when you're doing like these kind of races, you can't gain back lost sleep. So if you can sleep bank as much as you ma can beforehand, hopefully it will allow you to feel, I say fresher, but a bit fresher as the race goes on. It's kind of weird to explain it, but it's really important, first of all, to allow yourself to bank up some sleep before, and then equally to allow yourself to recover properly afterwards. I know it sounds weird, but it all will help you in the long run more than anything. So, next one. A clean bike is a happy bike. It's really simple. Look after your bike, keep it clean, keep it tidy. I personally am a big believer in using like a wax chain, but they are a bit harder to maintain. But normally, when they're well waxed, they do last a long time. Been using Squirt Lube before. I've used Wend. I find them all. To be honest, a lot of them are the same for same with the wax chains. They all work great. I prefer them to other kind of lube systems personally. But yeah, I've always found if your bike is clean and tidy, it generally will feel like it's going to perform better. I know it sounds silly, but it kind of works for me in a mental way as well. It's like my bike is clean and tidy. It's all going to work. Nothing to worry about. Next one, number 10. Be aware of your surroundings. Whatever type of race it is, a crit, track race, cyclocross, whatever it is, look at other racers, see how they're racing, see how they're feeling. It applies in the 24-hour races as well. See how your competitors are. Look who's really struggling. Look who looks disturbingly chilled. Is that person that looks disturbingly chilled actually really struggling? Who looks strong? Who looks like they're sandbagging? Who looks like it's worth attacking? Who looks a bit nervous on the bike? All of it's really important. I've seen in the National 24 where someone wasn't paying attention and ended up riding into the back of someone else, which actually caused both riders to have to pull out through serious injury. So, and it was potentially people that would be challenging for podium. So, super, super important to be aware of those kind of things as well. Number 11. I think it's really important to say you are only human. It's understandable that you're going to be nervous. You can't win everything. Training won't always go to plan. you know, you might feel overweight, you might feel underweight, whatever it is, there's always things that are going to affect that. Depression, for a prime example, in men is especially high. We're terrible at talking about it. We always have been. I'm terrible at talking about it. Something that society really struggles with. Rely on your support team, your close inner circle of people, your friends, your family, to support you in tough times, before, during, and after any kind of event. They're there to help you as much as you're there to help them, and don't forget on that side of it. Understand as well, because you're only human, things don't always go to plan. That's part of life. Really important one. Finally, enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, what's the point of doing it? I really enjoy doing 24-hour races because I think it's a challenge, and I really enjoy the challenge of it. I enjoy the mental aspect of it as well as the physical aspect of it. I don't enjoy necessarily how I feel at the end of it, but that's part of the challenge. You have to enjoy it, the camaraderie, the experience. For me, the 2018 and 2019 National 24s are two memories that I'm going to cherish probably for the rest of my life. And if I go back to do future ones, which I would like to do at some point, I'm sure I will also cherish them in the same way. There's things from both races which are incredibly special and important to me. Some little stories that came out of the 24-hour races that maybe aren't publicly known so well. In 2018, when I finished, I got off the bike and I sort of said to the guys, I'm going to go get changed. So I walked off to the toilet cubicle and like showering facilities to kind of like sort myself out. And I actually, I've passed out in the showers. Jimmy was like, oh, Chris has been gone a long time. So he went to try and find me. And I sort of was, yeah, passed out in the showers, which isn't great. And that's just proper fatigue and exhaustion over that kind of distance. In 2019, I don't really remember the last 3 or 4 hours of the race. I was struggling really badly with my back. As I said earlier, I was dealing with a herniated disc, which is up there as one of the most painful things I've ever had to deal with. And continuing to ride for 24 hours with a herniated disc is not one of the wisest decisions I've ever had. And I got to the point towards the end where I was a bit disillusional with the pain. When I finished, I remember getting off the bike and my friend Darren Franks, grabbed it off me. Because I would have just dropped it otherwise. He was racing, but unfortunately pulled out of the race. And then I don't really remember anything for a couple of hours, but apparently I was blanking in and out of consciousness in the back of a van while Will was trying to get my back working again, as the herniated disc was pretty bad. So yeah, they're pretty brutal, but the whole like experiences and memories are kind of priceless to me. I'm very honoured and very proud of the challenges that have come off that race and the experiences that come from it. There's not many times I feel like I can refer back to those sort of things. It's really special. The big reason why I thought I'd do this as well is obviously we've talked about the 2018 one, and you would have seen if you follow me on social media and Atticus on social media, you'll see they've actually released that kit, that magical blue stripy skin suit as a kit that you can purchase as a limited edition one, which is fucking cool. The 2019 skin suit is still also one of my favourite. It's all black, but had reflective legs. It's a really, really clever idea, and proper dialed in aerodynamically for me personally, as well as having the reflective legs, which added that extra bit of visibility, which is seriously, seriously impressive. My bike last year was a custom painted Giant Trinity. It's the bike that I sold my car to buy. Component wise, it was fitted with Parkour's wheels, Infocrank power meter, some custom Aero Coach chain rings, Shimano Durace DI2 group set with an oversized pulley wheel system. Ceramic everything that you can think of under the sun. I used the USE extensions, the high hand ones with revolver arm pads, which are like allowed me to slump into the position more That bike is pretty special. It's actually in pieces now because I'm currently working with Aero Coach and my new bike sponsor Cervelo to build up a new bike, which will be a Cervelo P Series time trial bike. So disc brake. Aero Coach are producing me some 3D printed titanium armrests, which, as I said, similarly, you'll see them on my social media recently. I've been sharing about them because they're really cool. The idea being that the position should be a bit more comfortable and more aerodynamic than what I previously used, but actually, I shouldn't feel like I'm actually in a different position on the bike. The idea of going for the P series was flexibility more than anything over the P5. The P series has got a bit more of a flexible front end, which means you can adjust it a bit more. As my fit is quite specific and unique to me, it's not a UCI legal fit either. It's very, I guess, extreme high hand position, but it works for me and it tests very, very fast. Super cool bike, that one. So, when you look at the kind of the numbers from 2019, I did 760 kilometers. That's the first under 30 by 160 kilometers. I came 13th overall. I broke the British and European under 30 records and averaged 205 watts until the last 4 hours when my power dropped off, and that's when my back kind of gave way. The distance-wise, it was 50 kilometers further than the previous year, which is pretty mad. The normalized power ended up being about 185 watts, which doesn't sound a lot, and same with the 205, it doesn't sound a lot, but over a 24-hour period, that's a lot. The TSS was 717. That's training stress score. If you use training peaks, you know what I mean, and you'll know that's a big number. That equates to about 30,000 calories burned, which is a lot, a hell of a lot of pizza. It was pretty nuts. It was pretty nuts. I guess in contrast, when you look at 2018 and 2017, the kind of issues and problems I was having were otherwise to do with the elements and the weather, or it was a very different strategy, I guess, in 2018. More time off the bike, more than anything, a lot more stoppage time. But when you equate that, those kind of distances, it's still over 30 kph in speed. That in its own right is pretty mental. So I guess like the 24-hour races, it's a big part of me and what I like doing. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the P series comes out. We're just working on a few little details for it at the moment. As soon as I have them, I'll be able to share with them. I do appreciate this is literally a podcast of me talking bollocks. So if you like it, I will probably do some more of these. If you don't, apologies. Yeah, I guess that's kind of all I have to say. Have a lovely rest of your evening. I might do some more of this. Thank you very much. Like, comment, subscribe. I've never said that in a podcast, but I'm going to say it. Cheers. Bye.